From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The state of Nebraska's Public Service Commission on Monday approved an alternate route of the Keystone XL pipeline, much to the dismay of environmental and indigenous activists. The controversial pipeline has been the focus of a tug of war between pro-fossil fuel politicians and grassroots activists for years. The activists are worried that a major pipeline project such as this will have short-term consequences such as pollution and long-term consequences for climate change. Their fears were confirmed on Thursday when the Keystone Pipeline in South Dakota leaked 210,000 gallons of oil. Organizers hoped the spill would influence the Nebraska regulators, saying it wasn't a matter of if spills would occur, but when. My guest is Judith LeBlanc. She's a member of the Caddo Tribe of Oklahoma and executive director of the Native Organizers Alliance, which is a national organizing and training Native network. Welcome to the program, Judith.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
Before we get to the decision in Nebraska, let's talk about the spill. This was a big spill. There's attempts to downplay it. It took place in South Dakota. Is this a part of a spill in a part of the pipeline that has already been built?
Yes, this is the original Keystone pipeline. It's the second spill in a year on the same stretch of the pipeline. And what is so disheartening and frankly expected is that TransCanada immediately begins to say the same thing with every spill.
This is the company, the Canadian company building the pipeline.
Exactly. And the one that wants to build the Keystone XL pipeline. They say the same thing. They say, well, if there's any oil that is going to be spilled, tar sands oil is the best because it's thick. The kind of soil, you know, will protect the water. And the truth is, they're not prepared. And they don't know what the long-term impact will be on the aquifers. And so we view that spill with a lot of alarm. I am here with many tribal leaders, treaty committee people, many grassroots Native activists, landowners, and ranchers who are gathered because it is not only time to express our complete and utter disgust with TransCanada and their approach to cleanup, but also to remind people that pipes break. That's why the Creator made plumbers. And when they break, they will have disastrous, irreparable damage to the water and the land.
The images of the spill are remarkable. You can see from aerial views how, I mean, it's just so visible to the naked eye. Forget about the actual damage done to the ground that it's hard to measure visually, but even just visually, you can see a black splotch that is really large where the spill occurred. How can the corporate executives and spokespeople for Keystone say that this is not going to really have any long-term damage?
Well, it's a part of a long legacy of fossil fuel corporations. You know, we saw what happened in the Gulf, and the Gulf has never fully recovered from the oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico. And we see the ongoing crisis, which is getting very little news coverage about the chemicals and the contamination of the water in Houston from the hurricane. There was a toxic, one of the Superfund toxic sites that was flooded. And therefore, many who were working in the water are being exposed to all kinds of contaminants. And it's yet to be seen how it will influence the water tables there. So frankly, we don't know what the long-term impact will be, and we don't know the solution except for we've got to keep the oil and the coal and the natural gas in the ground, and we've got to put all of our resources into alternative energy sources.
So this spill took place Thursday in South Dakota. Explain what has happened on Monday in Nebraska. The Nebraska Public Service Commission, a 5-member panel, 4 Republicans, 1 Democrat, voted 3-2 to approve the Keystone XL pipeline, not its preferred route, but an alternate route. And they seem to not, at least the 3 people who voted for this decision, did not seem to be influenced by the fact that this giant spill took place in South Dakota just a few days ago.
Not at all. In fact, their role was strictly an administrative role about right-of-way and not about environmental protection. In fact, during all of the hearings that the PSC conducted, the Public Services Commission, they would not allow any testimony about the potential environmental impact. Well, the decision is a step in some ways to stopping the pipeline. First of all, I just saw a press release. TransCanada is not very happy with the decision. 3 people voted for, but 2 of the commissioners voted against. And one of them Commissioner Rhodes spoke out about the lack of knowledge about the impact of the pipeline and what kind of long-term implications would be had on the ground in Nebraska. They do have in Nebraska a 30-day window, which landowners and others can appeal the decision of the PSC to the Nebraska courts. But from what I hear on the ground in Nebraska, I was listening to their press conference. We're currently in the middle of a press conference here at the Lower Brule Reservation in South Dakota. Oh, we are gearing up. We're saddling up for the legal, and the moral fight to protect Mother Earth. And that's going to require not only the environmental justice groups coming together and the tribes coming together to fight in the legal arena, but we also have to be organized on the ground to exercise our inherent moral rights to protect, as Native tribes and Native grassroots, to protect Mother Earth. Many of the people who were on the front lines during the Standing Rock struggle are here in Nebraska. And the feeling is that we won. Although the oil is flowing at Standing Rock, we won because we understood the power of organized prayer and unity. And so what TransCanada is about to see is the launching of a very bold, widespread international campaign to stop the pipeline.
So, Judith, the International Treaty to Protect the Sacred, tell me about what this is. There was a second signing of it in the last few days. And, explain what it is. An international treaty sounds like something the U.S. government might have been involved in, but was it?
In the last round, when we succeeded in stopping the KXL pipeline under the Obama administration. In 2013, tribes that had traditionally been enemies but would be impacted by the building of the KXL pipeline came together to create an international treaty to protect the sacred from tar sands projects. And what it did was to begin to build the kind of unity that we saw at Standing Rock, where we had over 400 tribes standing together for the sovereign right of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe to say no to the pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline. This treaty brought tribes together, many of whom were traditional enemies, but who came together to say our inherent, our moral, our legal sovereign right is to say no and to have that no recognized, and not only recognized, but implemented on the ground. And so this treaty was a kind of a moral call to action. And this gathering that is signing it again, inviting new tribal signatories, new non-Native allies to sign this treaty, this gathering was planned before we knew the date of the Nebraska Public Services Commission decision. So really, we're in a good place for 2 days to not only sign the treaty, but also to strategize about what we will do in the days and the weeks and the months ahead to stop the KXL pipeline.
So let's explain for our audience, just clarify again. So there is, of course, the Keystone pipeline that already exists. It's the one that had the spill in its location in South Dakota. This spill, I understand, was the largest spill that this pipeline has had. And there was another lesser spill last year, 16,000 something gallons. We can expect such spills to occur on a pretty regular basis because that's what pipelines do. We have much documentation over the years, and it's not like the builders of pipelines have come up with some brand new spill-proof technology for the pipelines. So there will be spills. The expansion of that pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, going all the way from the tar sands in Canada to the Gulf area of the United States, that's the one that organizers have been fighting against for years. That's the one that Obama finally caved and tried to, stopped from going forward. Donald Trump undid Obama's decision. And in fact, Donald Trump campaigned on approving the Keystone XL pipeline because he said there would be no impact on the environment and it would only bring jobs. Now, given that it was the alternate route of the Keystone XL pipeline that was approved rather than its preferred route, is this a win for Trump?
No, I would say it actually goes in our column. Number one, TransCanada is not happy about it. Their press release is they say they're not happy about the decision. Number two, it allows us to continue the legal fight to stop it and to begin a new level of campaigning to build public opinion about the environmental impact given this most recent spill. And so it's a step right direction. It is not a win for TransCanada, not a win for Trump. In fact, I think Trump put it on his wish list, as you said, during his campaigning. It was one of the first things that he did when he came into office was to say the pipeline should go forward. But the truth is, on the ground, both in Nebraska and in South Dakota, there are many bodies, regulatory bodies, that have to review the distance. Now, it's not clear to the lawyers what will have to be done in South Dakota, given that it is another route. The lawyers for the tribes here in South Dakota will be talking with one another and discussing what the next fight is. We do think that they were hoping, TransCanada was hoping, they would just get a flat-up approval. But the truth is, that TransCanada is having problems with investors. You have to remember that the very successful divestment campaign around the Dakota Access Pipeline caused $5 billion to be divested from the Dakota Access Pipeline. Cities, towns, pension funds, as well as individuals divested from banks that caused and pressured banks to divest from the Dakota Access Pipeline. There's a huge amount of overlap between the banks that were invested in Dakota Access Pipeline and KXL. So they're having some business problems. So the truth is that they're on shaky ground. They're on much more shaky ground than many realize. And that is where the grassroots movement and the leadership of the tribes will make a decisive contribution, because we are making a call that is moral, that is also legal, and is environmentally sound to put a stop to this pipeline. And in many ways, majority of people on the planet were moved to understand the consequences of a pipeline in one territory. Everybody has a stake in stopping this pipeline, and I think the tribal leadership and grassroots Native leaders are going to be issuing a call to action in conjunction with 350.org and many other environmental justice groups and the Native Organizers Alliance to sign people up to come put their bodies on the line if and when we lose all of the legal struggles to prevent this.
And in fact, you are one of the signatories to a letter called The Promise to Protect. Let's end our conversation with that, way forward on these pipeline decisions.
Well, you know, we learned so much from Standing Rock. And what we learned is that it is really important, as we say in Indian country, to be a good relative. Hmm. And that means we have to respect and follow the leadership of the tribes and the landowners in Nebraska and in South Dakota. They are the leadership of this movement to stop the pipeline. And so what we've come together to do with them, national organizations and the leadership, Native and landowner leadership on the ground in Nebraska and South Dakota, is to ask people to sign up and commit to a training, to being trained in prayerful, peaceful resistance tactics. And then we will strategize together about what kind of actions are needed to stop this pipeline if we fail to stop it in the legal arena. Now, everybody thinks, well, it's another Standing Rock. No, Standing Rock was a unique and an important moment in the struggle to protect Mother Earth. But, you know, we got all kinds of tactics, including there's the beginnings of the building of alternative energies along the pipeline, both solar powered farms and water pumping. So we're going to be advocating and showing physically that alternative energy sources are possible and available. And we will also be deciding, the leadership on the ground will be deciding what kind of support they want from all over the country. And then when we put that call out for people to sign up, they'll go through trainings and then they will come to Nebraska and South Dakota if they must to stop the pipeline.
Wow, that's amazing. And by the way, we are having this conversation just as the COP23 meeting in Bonn, Germany has wrapped up. And in our next story, we'll be speaking with Dallas Goldtooth of the Indigenous Environmental Network to tell us on the global level what has happened with the issue of climate change and the role that Indigenous activists have been playing. Judith, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website that you'd like to recommend where people can find out more information?
Yes. NativeOrganizer.org. And then on our Facebook page, Native Organizers Alliance, today, all day, we are streaming live the signing of the treaty and the some of the strategic discussions and roundtables that are being held here.
And that's the International Treaty to Protect the Sacred that we talked about earlier, yeah.
Yes.
Well, Judith, thank you so much for all your work and for spending this time with us.
Thank you, Sonali. Take care.
My guest has been Judith LeBlanc, member of the Caddo Tribe of Oklahoma, executive director of the Native Organizers Alliance. And we've been discussing the approval of the Keystone XL pipeline by Nebraska and a recent Keystone spill in South Dakota. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.